Jérôme Duprat, who's going to bring some economic thinking, I think, and into our thoughts for the next 15 minutes. Jérôme is at the end of his PhD. He's still technically a PhD candidate in the Department of Geography at the University of Montreal, but he's on the verge of defending his thesis. Entitled, well, it's essentially the subject of Economies of Ecosystems and Biodiversity of the Region of Montreal. More generally, he's interested in land use management and planning issues to the extent that he co-founded the Greenbelt Movement for the City of Montreal, which is an environmental coalition of several organizations, both non-profit and profit and academic. Jérôme is also president of the foundation of the Cowboy Fringant, the rather well-known Quebec band. He's also one of the band members. And he's also a member of the scientific committee of the David Suzuki Foundation. Over to you, Jérôme.
Thank you, Andrew. Great. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Andy and Tony, for organizing this fruitful event and inviting me. So I'll briefly present in 10-12 minutes some of the results of my thesis. So I think it's interesting to have, we had a lot of ecological, biological perspective on the biodiversity in the Anthropocene. So I'll try to bring some socioeconomics. And since most of the, a lot of land use planning and decisions are taken on economic indicators, so I think it's important to try to have that that position of some thinking about these topics. So I try to make my point by talking about economic valuation on biodiversity and ecosystem, but focusing on the area of Montreal. So here a little quote by Benjamin Franklin, just to underline the fact that the real value of things is modulating through history. He was saying in his autobiography that I can see that the great part of the miseries of mankind are brought upon them by false estimates they have made of the value of things. So this is anachronical if we try to put that quote in the lens of biodiversity of ecosystem. But if we want to have a contemporary vision of this, We'll talk about ecosystem services valuation. So it's really a growing field of study. There's an exponential growing of research on this, especially since, oh, there's a, I didn't test the Mac PC conversions. especially since the study of Costanza, Robert Costanza in 1997, who tried to estimate the value of the non-market services provided by biodiversity and the world biomes. So he found that, they found that ecosystem worth two times the world GDP. So research have been growing since, and now the 2.0 study of Costanza was made by Rodolphe de Groot and the collaborators, trying to estimate that the value of biomes. We saw some studies about if we downscale from global to national, like here on your right you have the study of the green GDP of Bhutan. On regional measures, here you have the state of New Jersey. So you see that this is really interesting in land use management, policy planning. So people, decision makers, want to have new tools that will reflect the economic contribution of their surrounding ecosystems. So, it's also really important at the international agenda. The UN founded an enormous project, the Economics of Ecosystem and Biodiversity, the TEEB project, which was launched in Nagoya in 2010. And they tried to review the Stern report in 2007, who wanted to estimate the cost of the climate changes. So the TEEB project is trying to estimate the loss of biodiversity. So they made a rough estimate of a cost by 2050 of around $2 trillion annually, 7% of the global GDP. So we see that it's really an important issue. We need to address this problem, and the first step is trying to have a good valuation of the contribution of ecosystems. So the reasons to end the false estimates of nature, there's a long list, but we can highlight five of these, because the cost and risk to society of business as usual are too large to ignore. So we saw this throughout the day with moratorium fisheries, the impact on invasive species. This is all related to, at some extent, economic decisions. The business as usual nature losses exacerbate poverty, so some population are more dependent towards their surrounding environment. Economic solution exists across policies and businesses, which begin by valuing nature. It can also contribute to realize the productive and employment potential of natural capital. And at the end, we need another lens. We need to have a new vision, a new economic compass before, like, it is too late, before we face a tipping point and climate changes. So we need to refocus, maybe extend our economic vision on nature. So with that context, I try to focus on the region of Montreal. Why? Because when we see some big studies about global ecosystem services, national level, it gives us big global numbers, but here the third point, these valuation methods are improving, and these large numbers should be seen as rough estimates. So we need now estimates are more locally produced and that can just percolate in land use and decision making tools. So I try to apply these methodology for the region of Montreal and trying to be more locally focused. So the first study, our first estimate was to measure the contribution of the land use of the whole region. Here you can see there are two definitions of the Montreal region. You have a political one with the yellow borders, which is the Metropolitan Community of Montreal, and the red line refers to the ecological Greater Montreal. So this is based on natural indicators such as hydrography, vegetation, climate. So in our study, we try to have an eye at these two levels because it can impact decision on political and ecological issues. So the first study was based on the methodology of Costanza and some other authors, really based on the benefit transfer. So we screened the literatures, trying to find some valuation study elsewhere in similar ecosystem, in similar demographic environment, and we transfer these results to our region. So the other first step was to have a good land use analysis. So we screened and mixed several GIS database and arrive at the end with the capacity of having GIS data and ecosystem values per hectare. So we're able to find like these big numbers for the region of Montreal. So we see on the tables at the upper right, you see the roughly $2 billion per year. This is non-market ecosystem services. So this is aside from timber and harvesting, food production. You see that at the end you have these ecosystem services, air quality, erosion control, pollination. So this study is just to give new information to decision makers saying that there's an important economic contribution of these ecosystems to the well-being of communities, and this contribution is important and is recurrent toward the years. So we wanted to have a step further in trying to analyze the impact on the land use evolution through time on these economic indicators. So we had a little historical perspective. We went back till the 60s. So with four time points, we analyzed the land use evolution of the region of Montreal. Here In the first study, we had the ecological borders. Here we focused on the political ones. So you see that urban core, the red core, is growing. This is like quite intuitive. If we look at the graph, we can see that second blue line is the urban land covers, which is growing. The agriculture, forest are declining, and the grasslands, which are subject to speculation, are moving through times. So if we just we screen the literature with benefit transfer result, but we also measure the avoided cost, like what is the contribution of forest to water quality, and what does it save as public cost, market prices, and at the end, we found that if the land use cover that was here in 1966 was contributing to more than $1 billion in non-market services, and we see that through time we were losing. This is a yearly values. So at the end, we can highlight that each year, we're compared to the 60s, we're losing more than $200 million. So these are non-market values, but that now generate costs for the different municipalities and the local stakeholders. So this needs to be integrated to internalize these externalities. So that was the first step of the project. The second one was to say, okay, now we know that there are costs associated to ecosystem services losses. But do public, the general citizen value nature and would like to have nature protected, will be ready to pay for these ecosystem services enhancement. So I'll just go rapidly on that one. This was just to highlight that in the region of Montreal, there had been three main land use management strategies. So in the since the beginning of urban sprawling to till 1978, it was a functionalist planning where there was a important expansion of the city. Then there were a law passed on the production of agriculture, and then some acceptation planning. So even if there were three different strategies, it all led to significant loss on ecosystem services value. We wanted to see the stated preferences. Do people value their surrounding environment in the lens of ecosystem services? So we asked people, how much would you be willing to pay to have a better agroecosystem? So would you, if we stay on the status quo, you will see your surrounding environment look like this in a 15 to 20 year perspective. But if you pay direct payment to farmers, or you pay the municipality to have different intervention, this could modify your environment, and you could have landscape looking like this. So there's a respect of the reglementation. So the people in the Lanaudière region stated that they would be ready to pay $66 per household per year on their budget constraint in the to enhance the water quality, biodiversity. For some other projects with better integration, you see that the contribution is rising up to $160 for an optimistic plan where the agroecosystem is really dynamic and respectful of the ecosystem. And another study, the value of wetlands. I'll pass rapidly here. We asked people, how much would you would be ready to pay on your water municipal tax each year to double the superficie of wetlands in Quebec? So you see that here for four different ecosystem services, biodiversity, flood protection, water quality, climate, you have really significant willingness to pay up to different There were two different methodologies, contingent valuation and choice experiment. You see that the two methodologies gave result over $400 per household per year. So this really highlights the fact that people want better environment, and this is crystallizing the non-market contribution of ecosystems. So just a short conclusion. For the whole region, if we look at the projection, the demographic projection for the region, Institut de la Statistique du Québec tells us that in 25 years there will be 425,000 more households in the region, and we now have 13,000 hectares that are dedicated to residential development. So if we look at the rate of the build-up density, the historic rate in the region, actual density, it's 18 houses per hectare. So at that rate and the dedicated hectare, the maximum space availability will have been reached in 2023 for 300,000 households. So there's a gap here of 125,000 households that will need some more space. So this calls for new strategy of urban development, where we have to maximize the density and the build-up density, and at the end, just a quick slide on how these non-market ecosystem values can integrate the politics and decision making. You have three different levels. On the first macro level, you can use these non-market values, the $2 billion per year, to recognize the value. You can have legislation, a green belt law that would recognize the contribution of the ecosystem to the region. You can downscale and go on to economic mechanism where these values can use to demonstrate the contribution of nature to the community well-being. So it can be used in certification, cost-based analysis, environmental impact assessment, life cycle analysis. So you can use these values as input in the different sustainable development tools. And at the end, at a micro scale, you can use these values to create new markets. So the classic one is the payment for ecosystem services, where you can design some schemes where people are paying or institutions are paying to maximize these ecosystem services. So these are the way of using these, opening up the economic vision on the ecosystem services. That's it. Thank you.
One quick question for Jérôme whilst I load Jean-Philippe's presentation.
Two quick ones.
Okay.
One.
Thanks for a great talk. I was wondering what would be the best decision in terms of change in landscape use to maximize the benefits we get from ecosystem services, at least for the region of Montreal.
I think NND will surely talk about it later. I think the notion of connectivity is really important in urban and peri-urban areas. So we have a lot of trade-offs for land use utilization. In the region here, there's a lot of agriculture, residential, and business development. There's conservation. So there's a maximum of core natural areas that we can protect, and the way to enhance the biodiversity resilience, I think, would be to connect it. So we need incentives for the farmers to make to respect the reglementation on riparian buffers. We need to have tree planting in the city. So really try to put that connective vision into the decision making, which is quite a challenge in the politician minding actually.
Thank you.
Thank you.